Open your Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, and please stand with me as we read together, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw it. He fell down to Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. But he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the daughter of the fishes which they had taken. So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray together. Father, we are eternally grateful to you for so much you have done for us over these years. Thank you for the privilege of standing in this pulpit and preaching the word of God to these good people. And I pray that you would use the message tonight from this text as a very, very special message to some heart in this place. And above all, Lord, may you be glorified and you alone. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. This interesting story occurred during the Lord's Galilean ministry. At that time, his messages, his miracles, had brought him increasing popularity. The people loved him. They followed him from every quarter to see another miracle and hear some great teaching that he would give. On this particular occasion, the crowd follows him to the shore of the Sea of Gennesaret, which, by the way, is the Sea of Galilee. Along the shore of the sea, the little community known as Gennesaret sometimes, Galilee was referred to as the Sea of Gennesaret. Now they're pressing him, the Bible tells us, to hear the word of God. Imagine that scene. Jesus standing with his back to the sea, and the crowd pressing ever close to hear him. Have you ever noticed who it is at a parade, where the people line the streets and everyone trying to get closer and closer, pressing the rope or those standing there to keep people out of the street, but yet everyone wanted to be on the first rope, be it where the action is. That's the kind of situation I see here. The crowd now presses against Jesus, his back to the sea. And I would wonder if perhaps now his feet are being washed with the waters of the Sea of Galilee. Imagine how difficult it would be to project one's voice over that crowd to the people in the back when it's an in-your-face kind of situation. So in order to create some space and enable him to speak to the entire crowd, he gets into a boat. That boat is pressed back from the shore. He sits down in that boat, and then he begins to speak to the people. It's interesting to me that we're not told what it was that Jesus talked about that day. We don't know the context of his message. I wondered why, but then it occurred to me that I think there's something else going on here. It may mean more or be more important even than the message that he was about to deliver to those people. I believe it had to do with the audience. You know, sometimes in my preaching, well, all the time in my preaching, really, when I was pastoring particularly, I spend hours preparing messages, as your pastor does. not having anyone in mind, just believing this was what God wanted for the congregation. But after the service was over, maybe that morning or that night, maybe a week later, even a month or longer, someone would say to me, "Pastor, that message you brought that day was just for me." I believe there's one person in that crowd on this occasion that Jesus was especially wanting to impact. And that person was Simon Peter. You see, at that time, the Lord was putting together that group of men known as apostles. Peter was on a short list. He was a candidate to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. But before he could be declared to be an apostle, and everything that means, he has first proved himself worthy by passing a test. It could be, in the service tonight, this message is just for you. God may have something special in mind for somebody in his place tonight. He's wanting this message delivered, which I believe and hope would be a blessing to all, but to one person in particular, God wants to speak to your heart. Because there's a special mission that he wants you to be involved in. If we were to put a title on this tonight, we'd say it's a test. It is a test to determine the worthiness of Peter to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. We can also call it surrender, because there are four things that Peter has here that the Lord is wanting him to yield to the Lord. We have to yield those things before he can be declared an apostle of Jesus Christ. May I say tonight, God has you in mind, but before he can use you, you have to pass the same test that Peter passed that day on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. There are four parts of the test. Let me list those four parts for you. First, Peter was called upon to yield to the Lord his possessions. Second, he was called to surrender to the Lord his will. Third, his pride. And then, his whole life. Let's begin with Peter's possessions tonight. He had two things that the Lord wanted him to yield to him. The first was his boat. Now, there are many boats along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. If you've been walking with Jesus that day, as he walked along the shore, you've seen many boats. Because, you see, Galilee was prime fishing ground. The men that worked the waters of that sea as a means of a living. But it came to this particular spot where Peter's boat was found. Now, isn't that a strange coincidence? In all the boats along the shore, Jesus just happened to stop right at Peter's boat. What a coincidence! Not on your life. From the foundation of all eternity, Jesus knew that boat would be there, that Peter would be there, and he planned to be there to administer a test to Peter. He wanted to use Peter's boat. Now, Peter, make it clear to you, you don't have to do this. You don't have to let me use that boat. I use somebody else's. Because, see, Peter, this is just a request. It's not a command. Because, you see, Peter, it's something we've got to get out of the way early on in this process. Something I have to know. Something we have to nail down before we can go any further in this application process. I've got to know, do you have anything that you wouldn't yield to me if I ask you for it? Because, see, Peter, down the road, you get this job. There may be some things that will tie you down. Maybe some things you'll be enslaved to. You won't be able to let them go. So Peter, right now, before we go any further, I need to know before the process goes any further, when that day comes, are you going to stop because of that thing? Or are you going to yield it to me if I want it? Now, there are many things. There are many people in Crossroads Baptist Church and other churches that God could use. perhaps gifted, talented, whatever the case may be, but what God's wanting is yielded people. Maybe people live in this church tonight that God has something special he wants you to do and that particular person, but God won't be able to do it because you just will not let it go. Might be a house. Might be a car. Might be a career. Might be your comfort. Whatever it is, before God can use you, you've got to be willing early on to yield it to it. I think Peter did with that. Okay, Lord. There's the boat. Take it. Use it as long as you want. So Peter did okay on that, but the Lord said, now, Peter, we're not done yet. It's not just your boat I want. I want you with the boat. I want your time. Verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him, and he thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Peter, I want you with the boat. I want your time. But Lord, you see, I fished all night. It's been a long night. Didn't catch a thing, not even a minnow. Thank you, Lord, I'm tired. I'm sleepy. I want to go home, get something to eat. I want to lay down and take a nap or sleep so that I can fish again tonight. I just don't really think I want to go fishing today. Well, now, Peter, that's okay. Because, see, Peter, again, this is not a command. It's a request. Because, see, Peter, something else I need to know. Not just do you have anything that you'll not yield to me, but what about your time, Peter? Because, see, Peter, down the road, you know, I learned something, preacher. You and I both learned some stuff down the road. Your time's not your own. You think it is, but one phone call can destroy all your plans for the day, Abel. So, Peter, there are going to be some times down the road that you're going to be tired again. You're going to be sleepy again. You're going to be hungry again. There are going to be some times you just aren't going to be in the mood to go do it. I need to know now. When that time comes, will your time be my time? You see, friends, before the Lord can appoint any of us to service, you've got to crucify that time. You've got to yield that time to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of you said, you know, I would teach a Sunday school class, but I don't have time. Some said, I would sing in the choir, but I don't have time. Some said, I would work in the bus ministry, but I just don't have time. I would go out on soul winning, but I just don't have time. That's okay, Peter. You don't have to do this. But you see, before I give you this job, I've got to know that when those times comes, it's not convenient for you. I need to know it'll become convenient. I want your time, baby, my time. Peter, will you yield your possessions? How's he doing? Not bad. But he goes on to the second point. Peter, it's not just your possessions I want. What I want also is your will. You see, Peter's that strong-willed child that James Dobson wrote about. On the promise, he grew up. Now he's a strong-willed man. Now it's okay to have a strong will. I believe I have one. You ought to have one. But you better be willing to yield that will. Amen. To the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, there are two requests from Jesus that will test his will. And see, Peter already made his plans for that day. His plans were to get those nets finished, ready for the night. His plans were to go home and eat. His plans were to take a good long nap. His plans were to get ready to fish again the next night. But Jesus is going to test his will by asking him to change his plans. You got some plans that you just inflexible about? You wouldn't change them for anybody? Now again, Peter, this is a request. You don't have to do it. But Peter, what I want you to do now is launch out into the deep. Now, that deep, with the Sea of Galilee is about 6 miles across the widest part. I've been told I've never seen it. Let's say he's going out to the middle. That's 3 miles. He didn't have an outboard. Didn't have an inboard. Just a couple of boards. Six, a good 3 miles out there. He'd already been out there. Just got in. He's tired. He's hungry. But the Lord said, Peter, launch out into the deep. But again, you don't have to. I know you've cleaned your nets. You're getting ready to fish again tonight. I know you're weary. You're hungry. Well, will you change your plans for me? But Lord, I fished all night. Didn't catch a thing. You know, Peter was the ultimate fisherman. He was fishing, didn't catch anything. You needn't bother to try. Because he was a fisherman. You know, putting myself inside Peter's head, I believe I can think his thoughts. Frustrated. Wouldn't you have been? If you were a great fisherman, caught fish every time you went, but here this night you went and fished all night long and didn't catch a minnow, would you be discouraged? What am I doing wrong? Do I need to go back to fishing school? I mean, what's going on here? I'm frustrated. I've always caught fish. I wonder, maybe Peter felt a little bit like a failure. But you know something? The Lord can hold back the fish just as easy as he can send them. You know what occurs to me? Sometimes, Christians, you know, just everything seems to go wrong. Nothing's working right. I mean, they just keep getting things together here. I just don't know what's going on. I wonder if there's sin in my life. I wonder what it is that's going wrong. When God puts you there. God puts you there. The reason Peter didn't catch fish is because God didn't let him catch fish. He sent a signal to all the fish to cease to go over yonder. Somebody don't go anywhere near that boat. And Peter kept on throwing that net out all night long, didn't catch a thing. You know he's frustrated. Felt like it's a failure. You've thought the same thing. I've heard people talk about that. You know, it's just nothing seems to work, you know. I feel like I'm a failure. And God puts you there. Because, see, God was wanting to do something big in Peter's life. He didn't want to show his glory in a powerful way in Peter's life. He wanted to work a miracle through Peter. But Peter thought it was a flop. All he had to do was just follow the leadership of the Lord. And God was going to use him in a major, major way. Now, on the surface, that request seems a little unreasonable, don't you think? Here this guy's fished all night long. He's hungry. He's tired. Wants to go to the house. Just doesn't seem reasonable. Been a lot of times God's asked me to do some things I didn't think was reasonable. I got an idea there's going to be some more of them too. Peter, you don't have to. But may I say, Peter, serving me is going to require some changes in your plans. That's good to plan. But are you willing to yield those plans to him? You know, as web testimony, I worked for a telephone company for 15 years. I loved my job. I was a plant manager exchange in Chesapeake, Virginia. I intended to work for a telephone company all of my life. I loved that work. I still have these feelings I get around telephone people, telephone equipment. Ride down the road, you look at the lines. I'd walk to the telephone office. I'm in charge of this place. I'm boss around here, you know. I loved it. One day the Lord said to me, John Halsey, I want you to change your plans for me. Ugh. Change your plans. Lord, I like my job. I asked the general manager of the telephone company once. He asked me one time, really. He says, Johnny, what job do you want around here? And I said, well, it's your job. He laughed, but I meant it. But God said, change your plans. And I did. Did I struggle? Yes, I did. But it changed them. Then God called me to preach, put me to church. Started the Great Oak Baptist Church in Chesapeake, Virginia. Man, I love pastoring. I still love pastoring. And I've got pastor in me. I never get out of me, you know. I'm just a pastor at heart. I realize the working in missions. Some folks call me an evangelist. Call me whatever you want to call me. But I still feel like I'm a pastor. And we had 14 acres. Don't you wish you had 14 acres, preacher? 14 acres of land. And in my mind, I'd picked out a little corner of it. I wanted to bury me there when I died. I want to be there forever until the Lord raptured the body. But then God said in 1987, I want you to change plans. Change my plans. I really struggled with that. Then he called me to missions. I've been now for almost past 23 years now. You know what? I've just about come to the place that whatever God wants me to do, I just may as well go on and do it.
Amen.
Whatever it is. I've been changing my plans all my life. Will you change yours? If he asks you to. You've got some great plans for a career. That's good. Will you change them? If he asks you to. Maybe you're planning on going to college, but it may be the wrong college. Willing to change those plans? Maybe you make some financial plans and you ought to make them, but are you willing to change those plans if he asks you to? What plans have you made for your life? It's great to make them, but just be flexible. You just never know what God's going to whisper into your heart. Be willing to change your plans. So Peter, not a command, just a request. Will you launch out into the deep? Now Peter had been in that boat waiting for Jesus to finish his message. He was sleepy, tired, hungry. He didn't want to go to the house. He's wondering how much longer Jesus is going to teach before I can go home. But now he's out in the middle of the sea because he's willing to change his plans. Now he got in the middle of the sea. Maybe, here again, getting inside Peter's head, trying to think his thoughts. I wonder if he didn't start turning that boat back toward the shore, you know? Well, what's the hold on, Peter? We're not done yet. We're still working on your will. Let down your nets for draught. Now, if y'all known this was coming, because see, when he said Peter wanted to use you with the boat, he must have said also bring your nets with you. Because see, the nets ought to have been put up. So he ought to have had a pretty good idea of what was coming. So now, Peter, will you let down your nets for a draught? Now again, Peter, this is not a command. It's just a request. Will you do it? May that make sense to you, but Peter, will you do it? Because I ask you to. Now, consider how Peter might have responded to that request. Lord, you're a great carpenter. And you're without a doubt best teacher I have ever heard. When it comes to fishing, that's my game. I've been out here all night long, hadn't caught a thing. You're telling me how to fish? Now, worse, you make a big mistake telling a fisherman how to fish if he already knows how to do it. So he said, Lord, he didn't say it, but he thought it. Now, consider the significance of these words. What he was saying, Lord, I know more about fishing than you do. Who created that sea? Who created those fish? Who controlled every action, every direction those fish would swim in that sea? God did. But Peter, now think about this. The words of Jesus, let down your nets for a draught, that was a request and a promise. Let down your nets for a draught. It's a request, but also a promise, Peter. If you let down the net, you will catch fish. But Peter said, oh, no way. I know more about fish than you do, Lord. I've been here. You see what he's doing? He's contradicting Jesus. You've never done that, have you? I mean, sure, you know better than God. Peter's contradicting him. He believes he knows more than him, and he believes he's wasting his time. It's absolute waste of my time. Some Christians think they're wasting their time when they obey God. This one Christian says, even maybe here tonight, Brother Halsey, you're a fairly decent preacher, but you don't know beans about my budget. I work it all the time. I just got finished looking all the way through it. And of all the figures. And there's just no more money there. That's what Peter was saying. Then a fish there. Some of you Christians say, Brother Halsey, you're talking about us giving and giving and giving and giving more and more and more, but I want to tell you something. I just don't have any more to give. Baloney. Jesus wants you to let your nets down. You see, when he said you told you to do this, it's not just a request, it's a promise.
Amen.
You will find fish. So in spite of his attitude, he obeyed. Did he obey because he felt like doing it? Did he obey because he wanted to do it? No way. But he did it. My friends, discipleship being used by the Lord requires that you be willing to yield your time, your possessions, and your will.
Amen.
To the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But then you see, he's not done with Peter yet. Not only did he want him to yield his possessions and his will, he wanted also his pride. Peter was a proud guy. He was an in-charge kind of fellow. He'd take charge. He'd run the show. That was Peter. But Peter had a problem with pride. That pride had to go. What happened when he obeyed? Success. Success came when he obeyed. Verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of the fishes and the net brake. All of a sudden, Jesus sent a signal. When that fish hit the water, that net hit the water. He sent a signal, all the fishes see. Meet together in longitude and latitude, you find the net there. Try to find some net space. All of a sudden, Peter thought he'd caught a whale. As those fish hit that net, pow! Wouldn't it have been fun to have one of those snorkeling outfits to been underneath that boat? Just to watch those fish fight for net space, I'd want to have been way down. It wouldn't have been in the way. Success. Success. And with that success, conviction. Conviction. Verse 8 and 9, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all who were with him, at the daughter of the fishes, was there taken. What caused Peter's conviction? First, his unbelief. Lord, I've been a fool. You asked me to do this. I didn't want to do it. You told me I'd catch fish. I didn't believe it. But I did what you told me to do. I caught fish. Lord, forgive me for my unbelief.
Amen.
Forgive me. And by the way, he's confessing his sins in the presence of his peers. Which is not something you expect Peter to do a lot of very quickly. But he was also convicted not just because of his unbelief, but because of his partial obedience. You see, the Lord told Peter in verse 4 to lower, let down your nets, plural. How many nets did Peter have? I don't have any idea. But it wouldn't have said nets unless he had more than one. Maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, I don't know, according to the size. They were kind of nets that you would throw, so it couldn't have been so big. So they, and everybody on the ship, and there are others on the ship with him, each man had a net. So let down your nets into the water. You'll catch fish. But Peter said to himself, I'm tired. This ain't going on long enough. Time to go to the house. So he said, Lord, I'll tell you what to do. I go part way with you. Verse 5. Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night, taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I let down the net. Singular. I give you one net. He seems impatient with the Lord, doesn't he? He tells the Lord, I'll not fully obey you. But that one net he put in the water broke. Because the Lord had ordered enough fish to fill all of his nets. But he just gave the Lord one of them. You know what he wants from us tonight? He wants us to lower all of our nets.
Amen.
Down in the waters of his will.
Amen.
Let them all down. Every area of your life. Every area of your life. Let it down. Let God have it. He's ordered blessings for every area. Some of you are going to miss them. Here's to bless you for every area of your life. Your soul winning, your church attendance, your Bible study, your prayer, your tithing. He wants to bless you for your missions giving, too. Let that net down.
Amen.
And wait for him to bless. And Peter's peers witness this surrender of his pride. In the presence of his peers, he says, I am a sinful man, O Lord. Strong-willed apostle. Wouldn't be easy for him to do this. But he did it. But then the Lord said, Peter, I tell you what. Let's bring this thing to a close. Let's move on down to the bottom line. Because, see, Peter, it's not just your possessions. It's not just your will. It's not just your pride. Peter, what I want is all of you. I want your life. So verse 10 and 11. So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they brought the ship to land, they forsook all and followed him. Imagine the picture. Peter pulls that boat into the shore, loaded down with fish. One of the hardest things in the world for me to do would be to leave fish. I get hungry every time I pass a body of water. If it's big enough to have fish swimming in it, I get fish hungry. My favorite food. But Peter got out of the boat and walked off after Jesus. Can you hear some of the others saying, hey, Peter, where are you going? Wherever he's going. Peter, what are you going to do? Whatever he tells me to do. Peter, what about the fish? I don't care about the fish. Peter, how are you going to live? That's his problem.
Amen.
Peter, what about his retirement? That's his problem.
Amen.
And he walked off and proved himself worthy to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. He forsook his nets, the fish, security, career, and committed himself to the will of God and everything that it meant. And his surrender affected the others, and they followed him also. Now he's worthy. My friends, service for Jesus Christ requires you passing that same test.
Amen.
Passed for Peter that day.
Amen.
Did you pass it tonight? Would you be willing to yield everything to him? But a question for you. Suppose Peter had failed that test. There'd be an apostle by the name of Peter. If I ask you to write a list tonight of the 12 apostles, what name would you put at the top? Peter. And you'd be in good company because every list in the New Testament includes the names of these apostles. Peter's name heads the list. Can you imagine a Bible without Simon Peter in it? You'd have to take 1st and 2nd Peter out of your Bible. I'm so glad it's still there.
Amen.
You'd have to take the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts out of the Bible. Because they're principally about Peter and his ministry. If he had failed that test, and his name would have vanished along with those who knew him. If he failed the test. Suppose William Terry, that great missionary, had failed. Suppose Adoniram Judson had failed. Suppose David Livingston had failed. Suppose your pastor had failed. He took the test, you see. A good many years back, he took the test. Aren't you glad he passed?
Amen. Amen.
If he failed that test, there'd be some big houses on this piece of property. No telling what this land would be if he failed the test. I'm looking at some folks tonight, somebody's going to be in hell tonight if he failed the test. I'm looking at perhaps tonight some folks, your homes have been destroyed. If you hadn't been there for you. if he failed the test. I'm glad he didn't fail it. But a better question is, suppose you fail. Suppose you fail. Look with me, please, at the Gospel of Luke chapter 9 for just a moment. Sometimes this text is used about evangelism, but in fact it's about discipleship. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Did you know you can do some good things with your life and lose it? When God called me to preach, I was a deacon in an independent Baptist church, Chesapeake, Virginia. I was pastor's right-hand man. I was at his beck and call, anything he wanted, I was there to do it and delighted to do it. Taught a Sunday school class, faithful in my giving, on soul winning visitation every week. You know, I could stay in that role for the rest of my life. But get to heaven and stand before the Lord, and he'd say, now, that's all nice, but you lost your life. You lost your life. Now, if the Lord has one of those PowerPoint presentations, it's a doozy. Imagine pulling out a big cloud and spotting up on that cloud for the world to see. Listen, John Halsey, I want to show you your life the way I planned it. Starting churches, winning souls, preachers called, missionaries called, preaching missions conference, millions of dollars committed for missions. Then said, that's your life, but you lost it. Wow, but you lost it. Somebody in this building tonight, you're a good Christian. God's using you in magnificent ways. You can stay there for the rest of your life. But if you're that guy he has in mind tonight, you can lose your life. Because God's got some wonderful things he wants you to do. But you're going to lose it. Don't lose your life. One of the saddest things to happen to anybody's life is to live it and lose it. Did you pass the test tonight? Now, God wants you to pass, you see. You may have failed it up to this point, but you can pass it now. Yield your life, every part of it, to his lordship. Stand, please, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, please let no one in this building lose their life tonight. There's a Peter here. Someone that you have a special job for. Special ministry for. Please, God, let them tonight yield everything to you. While their heads are bowed, eyes are closed, music is being played. If God is speaking tonight to your heart, please, Lord, don't let me lose my life. Will you come? Who is that Peter tonight that Jesus especially had this message for? Yield tonight. Yield tonight. God has a wonderful plan for your life. I've thought back over the years since God called me into his ministry. Oh, I'm so glad I didn't miss it. It's been a joy. At first, filled with fear, I looked out the window of our home, new home, there in Chesapeake, Virginia. Saw that new car sitting out there. I like that home. I like that car. I like my job. But I knew what Jesus was doing to my heart. I was stirred to the depths of my soul. But I finally let go. Oh, how glad. How glad I am tonight that I yielded. Don't you dare lose your life tonight.